You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Stan, I am not going to ask you one Zion question. No Brandon Ingram question. Yeah. But, Stan, it's an important day for you to use this platform and your new coaching job to light some people up, because what happened in America last night's not okay, Stan. So that's why you're here today. No basketball.
Oh, that's why he's here today? Because I'm pretty sure it's just for me to tell him that Baker Mayfield has the goods, dude.
I'll tell you what, I'm happy for you, Mike. The Browns actually had a good year.
Wow, a concession. A concession. You know,
they had a good year. I'm not sure Baker's what got them there, but he was certainly part of it. So, you know, he's not a guy that you're going to ride, but, you know, they put good talent around him.
Who exactly got him there? Our amazing defense. It's okay. I accept your apology. That actually was absent of your statement.
All right, I felt good for you, though.
All right, let's not waste
the time. Oh, shut up, both of you.
All right, so over the course of the next 2 days, we have brought all our friends over here to speak freely about stuff. And Stan Van Gundy has been a friend of the show for a really long time. And he was very politically active, because he only got on Twitter, basically, because some of what he saw yesterday was being foretold. We could all see the threat in it, how dangerous it was, the way America was being led. So, Stan, as someone who has been in that league and vocal on black causes, can you imagine what would have happened yesterday if the video being streamed into the homes of America was Black Lives Matter behaving that way at the state capitol? What do you think? Do you think the police would have been acting the way they were acting, letting people into the building?
Well, look, I don't even think we really need to speculate. I mean, we have evidence of protests from, you know, as recently as this summer, from Black Lives Matter. And probably the one that stands out to me is the one in Portland, where, you know, they were actually throwing people in vans and taking them away. And the explanation was that, you know, they had to protect federal property because there was a federal building in Oregon and in Portland. And so then we see yesterday, I'm pretty sure the Capitol's a federal building, maybe our most important one. And I couldn't, you know, I'm watching it on TV. I'm watching people break windows and come in. They actually got in the Senate chamber. There was an armed standoff at the door to the House floor.
Somebody
they
died.
Got in Nancy Pelosi's office. I mean, you know, and yet we didn't see the level of police violence that we saw in the Black Lives Matter protests. So this isn't something we need to speculate on and say, oh, what do you think would have happened? I think we all know what would have happened. If it was all of those people as Black Lives Matter protesters. Now, let me say, Dan, to be fair, as with some of the protests we saw this summer, I do think in watching it, a majority of the people there at the Capitol stayed outside of the Capitol. And while I don't agree with their stances, I think the majority of them were very vocal, but not destroying buildings and not being violent. But there was certainly a level of domestic terrorism that didn't seem to be dealt with as harshly as protesters this summer were.
Oh, but Stan, it's nice of you to be fair and reasonable, and that really is reaching across the aisle. But black people would say to you, on the contrary, hey, it's not all of us who are a threat to you white people. It's not all of us that need to be killed in the street by you because our skin color makes us a threat to you. And that's where we arrived. That's how we arrived here, Stan. All the racial stuff, it's chickens coming home to roost yesterday. It's Malcolm X stuff. What did you think was going to happen when you built Frankenstein to foment all of these racial issues and to just throw it out there. For a year, he's been instigating these divisions. He ran on a platform, Stan, of building a wall between us and the other, and he won. It's a little bit, it's a tiny angry mob, but you all get smeared by that shit. You all get smeared by it because you emboldened that mob and you emboldened the party of Trump to be a dictator to Trump, like to worship at the Trump altar. And it took the Republican, Stan, being scared shitless last night to finally take off their masks, grabbing at the power and the money, and actually lead. Only because they were scared shitless, Stan. It's the only reason they led last night.
Well, yeah, but I think we make a mistake, Dan, when we act like everything was okay along the lines of racial justice until 4 years ago when Trump came along. I think Trump came along and got elected because, in large part, of a lot of the racial animosity and things in this country. And this has been going on a long time. I mean, this is 400 years of this stuff. To act like we were going well and then all of a sudden Donald Trump came. No, I think, you know, maybe things got worse over the last four years, but this has been coming.
Oh, but Stan.
For a long, long time. I'm being honest here. And I think we make a mistake because if we assume it's all Donald Trump and his people, that assumption leads us then to believe Donald Trump out of office, we go back to where we were in 2016, and that's good enough. No way. And I don't think that you'll find...
I understand, Stan, but what's happening here? No, the part that needs to be understood is he has mobilized a whole bunch of people, Stan. He has mobilized them with... The taking away of your masks is a taking away of your freedom. And now you can storm the house with that freedom. You can storm the house saying they're taking away your freedom with rigged elections. And then you contaminate the whole system. And it's why it's a threat. It's never been this, Stan. Reagan, no matter how far you want to go to Nixon or the code words or Reagan and the code words, it's never been this, where it's stand down and stand by, where violence is being activated, where a vice president has to step in and be the president because they're scared shitless and they have to take over their state militia as Stan. I don't even know which part of this is most appalling to you. Is it the threat on freedom, or is it that some state military police yesterday let those people into that place? Let them into that place. Why, Stan? Because many of them are built like those people. And that's what's dangerous. That's what came home to roost yesterday. It's exactly what we saw. What did you see yesterday? What was more offensive to you, the impingement on freedom or the police enabling it? There weren't arrests, Stan.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying, the difference with the protests. But you're right, we haven't had this before, but I just look at this, quite honestly, as this was just the next step. And you know, somebody had texted me yesterday, a friend of mine, and said, just when you thought things couldn't get any worse. And my reply back was, I never thought things couldn't get any worse. And I still don't. I mean, this is going to continue. These people have been emboldened now. You can't activate people that don't want to be activated. You know, I think... We see yesterday, I've, you know, been called an alarmist on this, but I think, you know, we're on the verge of civil war, basically. I mean, we're two different countries here, two totally different countries. I don't really know how many shared values we have anymore. And I think we're on the, you know, we're a country on the brink. And I was reading comments yesterday and, you know, people were saying, oh, democracy will always survive. I think that's very naive. I really do. We've seen it in countries across the world for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. That's not the case. Democracies fail all the time and become dictatorships and everything else. And to think that somehow we've got this special formula that we're always going to survive and this is just a bad moment and we'll get through it, There's no guarantee of that. And I think yesterday has to be an alarm to everybody. Like, if you think yesterday's as bad as it can get, I think you're being naive. I think this is just a progression, and I don't expect it to get better. I honestly do not expect it to get better just because we're changing presidents in 2 weeks.
All right. Well, hold on. Help me understand here, because you believe that right now we are very much still in the threat of democracy is under siege. Freedom is under siege. A mob has been mobilized and continues to be mobilized by a, you know, a racist orange turd of a man who has wiped his dick over every American principle that matters, the Constitution, all over the White House office, credibility, whatever it is that it has. He has wiped his dick all over this democracy and our freedom.
That's a very vivid picture you just
painted. Yes, because he doesn't respect anything, and he is immune to shame, and this is what is being followed here. So you are saying, Stan, because I believe that what we saw last night in finally the Republicans getting scared shitless about this Frankenstein monster that they've created, that they cannot get controlled, is that they will now take over the militia in a way that will not allow this to become another impingement of freedom, like around Inauguration Day. That now it's gotten everybody, our leadership, our failed leadership during a pandemic, our failed leadership that has been beholden to money and corporations and has enabled this monster for as long as it has because this party wants to be close to the power. I do believe that they will get it under control now, Stan. You're telling me I'm being naive?
I think so. I'm not saying in the immediate aftermath there might be some control and people are alarmed, but listen, there's this number of people out there. Like, this isn't new. We've seen it across the country, you know, all summer, all fall, into the winter. I mean, these kind of conflicts are going to keep arising. They just are. I mean, this isn't, that's what I'm saying. Like, look, I've been as critical of the president as anybody, I think, but I you know, the more I look at it, I just, we're making a mistake focusing it all on him. I'm not trying to protect him by any means, but that's not the root of the problems. Like, again, this didn't start 4 years ago. This has been going on for a long time, and it's been growing to this, and there's millions of people out there that, you know, like what happened yesterday, support what happened yesterday. Look, I mean, this isn't an isolated incident. There was a plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan. Like, there are people that don't want this country to survive the way it is. And I think they're going to stand up to a Biden administration with a Democratic Senate and a Democratic Congress. We're a terribly divided nation. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. This kind of division, like, you know, I go back to when George W. Bush was in power, and you know, you would disagree with people. And then when Bill Clinton was in office, even, you know, before that, you'd have political disagreements among people, among friends. But it wasn't, if you're on the other side, you're my enemy. And if you're on my side, you're my friend. It wasn't that. It was political disagreements on issues. Now we're just totally divided. You pick a side. You pick a side, and we don't talk about policy, and we don't talk about issues. It's which side are you on? And if you're on one side, you hate the other. I mean, I wasn't alive in 1861, though it sometimes seems like I'm that old. But to me, this is a civil war in the making. Like, where are our shared values? What do we agree on? I think as recently as, you know, probably 10, 15 years ago, we could have answered that question. I don't know where the common ground is now. I see two factions. that absolutely hate each other, don't want the best for each other, are not trying to unify anything. I don't know why we're not going to see more of what we saw yesterday. Those people think that their government was stolen from them. They do, you know, and I don't know how we overcome that. I don't. To me, it's a scary time. I expect this to get worse. I don't mean I expect something today.
But Stan, I feel like what you're saying, Stan, I feel like what you're saying is that you expect, whether it's before the 20th or not, you expect America to be in a situation where there are going to be more acts of domestic terrorism that by people who feel like their government has been stolen from them, because something that has been a fabrication that has been disproven by every court in our land, that has been knocked down by democracy, Giuliani and Trump, these two particular bozos, these two bozos are going to be able to mobilize the entirety of this army to start a civil war. That's what you're saying.
Well, again, I don't think it's just those people. Look, probably the biggest difference to me in what's happened is we used to have shared facts. Like there were facts and we would agree on those facts. And what we would disagree on was the reasons for those things happening and the solutions to the problems we would disagree on. We don't even agree on the facts anymore. Listen, we don't agree that the coronavirus is a big problem. We don't even agree on that, the two sides. We don't agree on climate change being a problem. We don't even have shared facts now, Dan, let alone shared values. I don't know how you come together. There's just nothing where we agree. I mean, and so like you make the point that all of the claims of voter fraud and stuff have been proven false. Well, they've been proven false to you and they've been proven false to me. They haven't been proven false to those people we saw at the Capitol yesterday. They haven't been proven false to millions of people. There's news networks out there who say that the fraud is there. So we're not even sharing that fact. I mean, we don't agree on that they've been proven false. So I don't know how this stops, because these people aren't all of a sudden going to accept what you take as fact.
Fair enough. I can't actually dispute that. I haven't actually gotten into with you, Stan, how you experienced yesterday. I imagine your world, like, we miss you, okay? But what I don't miss is that this job of yours pulls you away from us and makes you instantaneously miserable, and you don't have time for anything other than to worry about Zion's footwork. And so we can't actually talk about this stuff that actually means a great deal to you and you could talk about for many, many hours. As you saw what was happening yesterday, Stan Van Gundy was what level of horrified? You're not allowed to not act surprised, Stan.
I wasn't surprised. I was horrified, but I wasn't surprised. Like, you know, I'm not saying that I would have predicted that exact event, but to think that something like that wasn't going to happen, you know, that, I guess if nothing happened all the way through the inauguration, that's what would have surprised me. Like, this has been coming. It's been fomenting for a long time. And Trump was able to tap into those feelings and get elected. And now he loses the election. His people aren't going to buy that. They had what they wanted. They feel like it's been taken away. Yesterday, I think yesterday or something like yesterday was pretty predictable. And to act like, wow, we couldn't have seen this coming, I mean, you'd have to have been asleep to not think something like this was coming. We've seen it all summer. I watched it because obviously I still have an interest in Michigan with two kids. I saw it this summer. They stormed the state house with long guns. They had a plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan. Like, okay. I mean, because she put in a mask mandate. So Like, we really thought they were just going to take the election and say, okay, that's good, our guy lost, and move on. And no, I mean, yesterday was, it was predictable, and it's scary because we're not one country. We're not. We don't have shared values right now. I don't know how we keep this together. We can't even agree on facts, let alone solutions, problems, how to run the country. I mean, I've never seen anything like this, but it's been coming for a long time, and we're going to see more of what we saw yesterday.
Okay, this is very depressing.
I am pretty confident.
This is very depressing. It is dark. I don't know that it's alarmist, given what we saw yesterday. So take us through, because we haven't talked to you in a while, and you took this job, and it was a big surprise. We were thrilled for you, even though, you know, you're going into joyless land here. And you're constantly questioning the worth of what you do for a living, but it gives you this platform now, because what we do isn't this silly in moments like now, when you can actually express yourself and have a platform to do so. So can you please tell the audience what you were experiencing when, what you were experiencing the day that Trump got, you know, that Biden won? Did it make you hopeful for a moment, or were you still stuck here where you're like, yeah, this isn't going to fix anything. It's just going to sort of put a bandage on it. You saw Trump making this particular mess for this long?
Yeah, I mean, look, I was, I'm a Democrat. I was happy. Everybody's happy when their side wins, right? So I was certainly happy. But honestly, I mean, and my wife can attest to this, I mean, the first thing I said was, there's going to be a lot of violence in this country right now. I mean, you know, I expected stuff like this. I really did. I mean, it's, we're at a different time now. So this doesn't surprise me at all. And I wasn't, again, thinking of it directly in what the president would do or say. I just knew there would be people out there that would be outraged and would not accept the result, and that we would have problems. So this is far from surprising to me. And I think everybody's thinking, oh, we've just got to get through Inauguration Day and everything will be fine. I mean, these people have grievances, whether we agree with them or whether we think that, you know, they're absolutely nuts. They have grievances, and they're very, very upset about what's going on. And I don't think they're just going to stop. I mean, I saw the message they left on Nancy Pelosi's desk yesterday, and I totally believed it. And it just, you know, they left it on that manila folder on her desk. We won't back down. And I think that's true. They're not going to back down. And they're going to look for opportunities like this, whether it's at the state house level or the local government level or the federal level. And they're going to gear up for 2022 and then 2024. And I think we're, as a country, on a downward spiral, quite honestly, because we don't have any unifying beliefs.
You believe that right now democracy and freedom are under attack. You don't feel like you're being alarmist by saying that. I mean, obviously, it's sort of indisputable yesterday, but you're saying that this is going to be a sustained thing, and it's going to be a sustained thing where freedom is going to be threatened at every turn because of the damage that has been done to the system, to the credibility, by really, unbelievably, Stan, by a moron, by a narcissistic, self-involved at every turn, always choosing himself, you know, that a criminal, a guy who goes bankrupt, a guy who doesn't have an ethic, doesn't have a moral, linked to pedophile, Epstein, linked, you know, in ways that are circumstantial evidence. But this is what was able to get us to this point. Like, how, Stan? How the hell is that the thing that, what happened to white people? What happened? Why do white people feel this oppressed and this angry that the other is this kind of threat?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. But they're threatened by the changing demographics in our country. You know, they're threatened economically, the world has changed for a lot of them. There aren't the manufacturing jobs. There aren't the jobs in mining and other industries. The world has changed. I mean, their world is slipping away. And when you don't have solutions, and I don't know that anybody on either side has given people solutions, then what you need is someone to blame. And it's the others, it's those people. And I still think we're making a mistake focusing on one person, focusing on Trump. There's millions of aggrieved people out there, and we just focus on one person and think him going away is going to change things. It's not going to change what those people feel and think and everything else. And they want, and I hear him say it, you know, it's this thing we hear all the time. We want to take our country back. You know, it was make America great again. It's all the theme is going back. We want to go back to what we perceived as a better time. And we're willing to fight for that because we're losing our country. I don't know how we overcome it. Look, I thought yesterday when I was watching, that was a scene from the Arab Spring. It was a scene from other countries, third world countries we've seen. You know, we're not that shining light of democracy anymore. We're not. And we better deal with that. And I'm reading comments from people yesterday that I have great respect for, you know, great leaders. But yet everybody, you know, the overall tone was, oh, you know, democracy will overcome all of this. Like, we're just entitled to this democracy, and because we're the United States, it'll always be there. I don't buy that. I mean, we're no better than anyone else. And this, our entire way of governing and running our country could go away at any point. And I think it is on that route. That may be alarmist, but if we're not gonna make any changes, if things don't change, then yeah, I think we're headed to civil war or something akin to civil war, and I don't know how we come out of that.
All right, we're going to continue here with Stan Van Gundy. We're doing it sort of all differently today. Stan is very busy, and so we will let him go in a little bit, but I want to sort of explain to the audience what it is that's happening today because things are moving very fast, and we're just simply taping stuff, and this might not be the show you signed up for today. Maybe you want the laughs and the goofiness. This is why we've always given you a lot of menu items so you can choose on South Beach Sessions, the interview sessions, or whether you could choose stupidity. So the crew has been sitting here, and they've been quiet. We're not doing our normal show because I want to talk to some of the people who have important voices and have America hear these voices at a time that you've made us the number one sports podcast in America, and you're all flooding to hear what needs to be said about this. This show has been a little more serious today, and we're going to be taping two shows today. So we're going to be pumping out all sorts of content over the next 2 days. So bear with us. It's all moving very fast, and just bear with us.
You were drunk yesterday.
And I was drinking yesterday. That's right. I was drinking on the show yesterday. Stan, I'm enjoying my freedom. I hope you enjoy the prison the NBA has made of your life now that you're a miserable coach who has to get back to the dribbling of basketballs and can't talk about this enough. You said something interesting there. So you're saying that basically, even when it comes to aggrieved, among the aggrieved, even white people have privilege there because the aggrieved can storm the Capitol, but the aggrieved in this case aren't having their colors, you know, choked to death in the street or a knee on their neck for 8 minutes. The aggrieved in this case that are so angry to storm freedom and democracy, the aggrieved aren't the ones that are actually beaten down by the police and killed by the police. The aggrieved in this case are people who are storming the state capitol with the help of the police. Am I missing anything here? Black people are watching this on television and they're saying, you're aggrieved. You're aggrieved as you kill George Floyd in the street. You're aggrieved. Like, explain that part to me. What's happening there, Stan, that the resentment is so deep and so strong that even the aggrieved white people can come from privilege?
Yeah, listen, I mean, but we're coming from two different worlds. I mean, I'm with you and I'm with, you know, Michael Eric Dyson, who I was following yesterday, and, you know, Color of Change, and, you know, listening to them, I'm on that side of it. But we're, I go back to, we're in two different worlds, Dan. These people are aggrieved because they are convinced that this election was stolen from them. Stolen. I mean, remember, this all started with a rally yesterday that was called Stop the Steal. I mean, they were, and I would be aggrieved if I thought an election was stolen. Now, from my vantage point, I look at them and say, there was no election stolen. They are convinced that is what happened. And any of us, if we thought that is what happened, would be aggrieved. I don't think I'd go break into the Capitol, but I would be very, very upset if I was that convinced that an election was stolen. And that's what they believe. I go back to it. The problem here is, to me,
believe based on what, Stan?
We're
believe,
in two different countries, Stan.
But believe
we don't based, believe the same
okay,
thing.
Okay, but Stan, believe based on what? Because
it doesn't matter, though, Dan. That's what I'm saying.
But we believe, don't share okay, forgive
facts
me, Stan.
Anymore.
Okay, like, but believed based on, it, just explain it to me how we got here. But they believe based on what? When what the president of saying is saying at every single turn, the system and facts are supporting. Twitter last night closed down Trump. You think that that's serving Trump? Because it's another mechanism that's making the aggrieved think that their government is under threat, that these things that are happening, he's such an agent of chaos, you're saying, that it doesn't matter what we say because over here we're just agreeing and they don't agree with even wearing masks.
No, they don't. But listen, so here's the thing to me, like it came way before Trump, but a lot of this started, and I don't know how we get out of this, if you're a, we live in this media world and social media world, well, where it's all about, you know, getting clicks, getting people to come on. And so the most outrageous stuff gets people on. And so, listen, we thought Fox News was a purveyor of disinformation. And now we've got Newsmax and One America and social media. That's unbelievable. And people believe what they're reading on that. I don't think most people like can sort out necessarily like who's telling the truth and who's not. All they know is they go online and they see a lot of people telling them that COVID is not that big a threat and this is all a conspiracy to lose the election and that, you know, you shouldn't have to wear masks and climate change isn't real and we should be able to go about things, manufacturing, mining the way we always did. And it's what you want to hear and you see a lot of it and you believe it. And so we're at the point that, you know, I'm saying I saw this on the news, you know, the fact is there was no fraud in the election, but if you flip to One America or Newsmax, that's not what you're going to get. You're going to get there is fraud and we got screwed and everything else. And so these aren't like dumb people. I think they're misinformed. They think I'm misinformed. I don't know. Like if you can't even share facts.
Well, they are.
That's all I'm saying. But Stan, I don't know how we go forward.
But, okay. But Stan, you say they're not dumb people, but he has mobilized the uneducated. That's quantifiable. He has absolutely, and okay, you could call me a liberal elite for saying for suggesting or intimating that if you're uneducated, you're dumb, because that's not necessarily so. You can do any number of things well, and you could be smart about things. But you're uneducated. That's not up for dispute. That's empirical.
I mean, again, it's, you know, the things that you and I call undisputed and empirical and all of that, they're not buying it. They're not buying any of that. There's not a fact, Dan, that you can bring up that has anything to do with politics or public policy where they're even going to agree with your facts. They're not. That's what I'm saying. Like, I see civil war on the horizon. We're not one country. We don't, not only do we not share any values, we don't even agree on what the facts are. And I've never been there before in the country. What we used to do is we would agree, okay, unemployment's at X percent now, but we would disagree on the reasons and the solutions. We would agree that COVID is a major problem and we might disagree on how to handle it. Now, I mean, we've got people that think COVID was a made-up conspiracy. We don't agree on the facts. I don't know how you come together as a country when you don't even agree on what's going on. Look, I have friends who are educated, very intelligent, and like, they're not going to trust the vaccine. They think the whole COVID thing was made up. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me, but that's where we are. How are we coming together? How do you think we even get close to unity? What our country's going to be is whoever's in charge is going to do what they can. And then the next person coming in, if they're on the other side, is going to try to throw all that out and go the other way. There's no middle ground. I think Joe Biden wants to be a middle ground guy. I think he has been for most of his life, but there is no middle ground anymore. Like, tell me what we agree on. Tell me what we agree on, and let's start there.
No, it's indispensable.
Baker Mayfield has a goods, dude.
Yes. And Michael Jordan.
Yes, we agree on Michael Jordan. You're right about that. Baker Mayfield has the goods. We don't agree on that. Stan Van Gundy is going to be an ever-loving misery that we talk to very seriously all the time because coaching kills him. You look thinner. You look healthier, but you're probably dead inside, right?
Well, we've lost two games right at the end. I'm not doing great, but I like my guys. I like my team. I think we'll get better as time goes on. But it's been hard in the last few days.
1 point loss last night. Even my wife said, I was watching the game because I have Lonzo on my fantasy team. She said, why does Stan keep going back to that? He appears to be so much happier with you and Dan.
He's an idiot. It's not Scott Brooks who's an idiot. It's him that's an idiot.
You know what? It's hard to disagree with that.
I mean, you are an idiot. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah,
Stan.
Listen, it's hard to disagree. Stan. Maybe that's something that America could come together.
Stan, you'd rather be doing this today, right now. I need you to admit that you'd rather be doing this show. I need you to admit it publicly. You would rather be doing this show today, just shitting around, laughing with us for 20 hours, talking about this shit and having some laughs instead of being, you're dead inside, dude. And it's not just basketball. It's where America is and everything. There was no laughter in this. I want to ask you how you think black people experienced yesterday as the coach in a league. Like, Stan, how did you come upon your viewpoints? Isn't it being around black guys so often that you were influenced at every turn by basketball to think differently than you might have if you'd just grown up amid privilege?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I know how a lot of black people were feeling yesterday, especially ones that I've coached in the league, because I was reading, you know, for about an hour and a half, waiting to go to the game. I was reading what they were posting, Dwayne Wade and other people. I know how they were feeling. Like, you know, we go out in the streets and protest and we're treated one way, or not even protesting. We're just out in the streets and we're treated one way. And these people are breaking into the Capitol and nothing's happening to them. So I know exactly what they were thinking. And, you know, my first thought when I was sitting at home, I get home for about an hour on game day, and I was sitting at home watching the news, watching CNN, and I'm watching them break windows to get into the Capitol and things. And, you know, that was my first thought. I mean, if this was thousands of black people breaking windows going into the Capitol, do we honestly believe the response would have been the same?
No, Stan, we were averted because it was white people, the grieved, it, because we're going to let you go on this note, but because it was aggrieved white people and not Black Lives Matter that did that, we were spared on video seeing dead bodies tumbling downstairs because black people were a threat that aggrieved white people were welcomed into that place. by the state militia. If that had been black people, what we would have seen on television from a distance, because the media was kept back, is just black bodies rolling down the stairways, because it would have been seen as such a different kind of threat by state police, who are sort of aligned with these people, Stan. Like, you can't let those people into that place unless somewhere you are aligned with those people.
Well, I mean, it's hard to argue with that. And certainly, I think, you know, anyone who thinks the response would have been the same if that were black people breaking into the Capitol is either dishonest or ridiculously naive. I agree with you on what we would have been watching on TV. I mean, it was appalling on a lot of fronts, but I'll just end with this, Dan. I mean, the thing that really sticks with me on this is, like, where do we go? Like, I just don't see, like, to be a country, you're always going to have disagreements, and that's a good thing in a democracy, but we don't share anything right now. We don't share facts. We don't share values. We don't care about each other. There's hatred on, you know, on both sides. You pick a team. I mean, to me, that's civil war. I mean, that's two sides that are going to fight it out to see who rules. That's not a democracy. I don't know where we go, and I think it's naive as hell for people to think that, well, we've survived for, what, 244 years or whatever it is, and so we'll always survive. I don't buy that. I mean, we were split for 4 years in the 1860s and had to fight a war to get our country back, and I just, why isn't that going to happen again now? To me, it seems like the more likely course than us coming together as one country.
Stan, before you go, because I think I speak on behalf of everyone, where this stuck with me and I can't let it go. Dan, did you have the president taking his penis out and wiping things with it?
Tell me he hasn't. Stan, tell me he hasn't wiped his dick on the Constitution, on democracy, Dan, all over the White House. Tell me
baiting the witness.
He hasn't. Well, okay, I am baiting the witness. But, yeah, I want the headline, Stan. You know, we're a little small outfit now. We've been kicked out of ESPN. We're floating around in this world. You're not even on the radio right now, Stan. This is just a floating pirate podcast. You've gotten on a yo-ho-ho ship, and you got to go back to the Zion and Brandon Ingram, how do their hips work, shit.
So you did have him taking out his penis and wiping things.
Yes, Stan, am I wrong? Am I wrong?
Well, listen, and I'm staying pretty serious on this, I guess, but I think putting all the focus on Trump is just a mistake. I do. I think that the problem is much, much bigger than that. There are people on absolute opposite sides of this, millions of people who don't agree on anything. I think that's the problem. And I have absolutely no idea what the solution is, or even if a solution is possible in this country right now. But getting a new president is, to me, not going to change things. I mean, this is as divided a country probably as there is anywhere in the world right now. I mean, we saw it on TV, and, you know, it looked to me like what I've seen from other countries trying to overthrow governments and everything for a long time. And sometimes we're on the side of the rebels, as we were in the Arab Spring at times, and sometimes we're on the side of the sitting government, and we're acting like we're different somehow with what happened yesterday. We're different than all those countries. We're not. And we better come to grips with the fact that this division is scary and could literally rip our country apart. And we need people a lot smarter than you and I to figure out some solutions. And the focus on one person, on Donald Trump, is just not going to get us there. And it might feel good to vent and to blame this all on one person. And what feels good about it to me, when you do that, is if it's just one person, well, great, then we can overcome it starting January 20th.
No, you're right.
And
no, you're right.
That feels good.
No, you're right.
But if it's bigger than that,
you're right.
Which it is, then the problem is harder. So we're going to rail at Donald Trump, blah, 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 blah. And the problem's a lot bigger.
I'm just focused on his penis, thanks to Dan.
Well, I was trying to do show around Stan, try and tickle him a little bit. It's a depressing day, Stan. Like, there's no, I was just trying to tickle you a little bit so you could go back to the misery. And we tried to do some show around you there, but you had no time for smiles. You got to get back to the misery. So go be with the misery. It's depressing. I don't think you're alarmist. I think that the things that you said are rational. They're unemotional. You're not actually emotional delivering any of it.
I think Stan looks forward to whatever it is he has to do today. He takes his mind off for a minute.
Stan,
that is absolutely true. I can't wait to get out to practice today.
All right, get out of here. I'm sorry that we kept you for so long, but
all right,
your voice
good talking
is important.
To you guys.
All right. Love you, all buddy.
Yep. Thank you, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.